أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek help from Him. We ask forgiveness from Him. We repent to Him and we seek refuge in Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who is guided by Allah is truly guided. And anyone who has been left astray will find no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the only one without any partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his final messenger. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and die not except as Muslims. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يؤت الله والرسول فقد فاز فوزا عظيما O you who believe, be aware of Allah and speak a straightforward word. He will forgive your sins and repair your deeds, and whoever takes Allah and His Prophet as a guide has already achieved a mighty victory. In the open verse of Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, O mankind, show reverence towards your guardian Lord, who created you from a single person, created of like nature his mate. And from the two of them scattered like seeds, countless men and women. Be conscious of Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and show reverence towards the wombs that bore you, for surely Allah ever watches over you. My dear sisters and brothers, football fever is around us all these days. And those who know the game will know that it's all about scoring goals. Our khutbah today is also about goals. But goals of a different kind. Let's talk about the goals that we all strive for throughout life. Our lifetime goals. Each one of us is likely to have some burning ambition, some clear objective or ideal that drives us forward every day. It may be a work-related deadline, or a forthcoming exam, or a karate grading session. Or we may be working towards a particular career that we want to pursue after leaving university. Consciously or subconsciously, we all have short-term, medium-term and long-term goals that we hope to achieve before our life is over. The difference from soccer is that in real life, no one knows when the final whistle is going to blow. No one knows just how, when and where their life is going to end. You know, when we line up for prayers, for the congregational prayers, quite often the Imam reminds us to live each day as if it is our last day and to pray every prayer as if it is our last prayer. We must therefore be totally focused and sincere in everything that we do. We don't know when that final whistle is going to blow. Now, to achieve any particular goal, there's always an economic dimension. We need money to get things done, unfortunately. No matter how noble or generous we want to be, we still need some degree of financial independence for ourselves in order to get what we want. This is simply in the nature of things. We may not want to be wealthy for its own sake, to show off and to have a flashy lifestyle, But rather to be more effective in society, we must be able to stand on our own feet financially. Therefore, we need to work to earn money, to do what we would like to do. The danger is that the means can sometimes become an end in itself. And how many young people have not set out in life with high ideals of making the world a better place, only to be distracted along the way? How many of us simply become consumers, buying the latest gadgets and the fashionable clothes, enjoying all the material pleasures of life, and forgetting that life is really about a higher and a nobler purpose? Many people work hard, they get rich, they look back with a sense of pride in what they've achieved. That's only human nature. That pride often drives us to make more effort, to produce more wealth and more pride and so on. But worldly success is meaningless if we do not aspire to a higher and nobler objective. The wealth should be a means to an end, not an end in itself. And therefore the Holy Quran reminds us, Allah reminds us in these words, in the Holy Quran, "Fair in the eyes of men is the love of things that they covet, women and sons, heaped up hoards of gold and silver, horses branded for blood and excellence, and wealth of cattle and well-tilled land. Such are the possessions of this world's life, but nearness to Allah is the best of goals to return to." Now remember, this verse was revealed in the 7th century. They didn't have BMWs and Mercedes-Benzes and luxury cruise holidays and so forth in those days. But this is a universal message, that the material things that distract us so much should not be what we strive for in life. It should be a means to an end. That doesn't mean that we should feel guilty about making a success in this world. Allah wants us to enjoy the fruits of our hard work. He wants us to work hard and enjoy a nice car and live in a nice home and have a nice neighborhood. But this should be the byproduct of worship. It's not the main agenda. We should not love material things so much as to distract us from worshiping Him. Some religions teach that in order to grow spiritually, you have to deny yourself the pleasures of this world. You may have to spend time in a monastery or become an ascetic. Islam teaches a different message. It teaches life fulfillment, not life denial. It teaches us that the body and the spirit should live in harmony, not in conflict. You don't have to suppress one to benefit the other. In our daily prayers, most of you will know this prayer. We recite this quite often. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. O my Lord, give us the good of this world and give us the good in the hereafter, and save us from the torment of the fire. Now we have to get the balance right. The balance between our work, our family, our home, our community, and our leisure time. Many of our parents came to Britain from other places in order to find work and a better life. We must make sure that our parents' migration to Britain was not just for a better life for themselves and their children. We must make sure that our presence in this beautiful country will be a benefit to everyone who lives here. Our country has many social problems. I don't have to tell you about them. And many of these problems are related to financial debt, juvenile delinquency, failed marriages, and drug and alcohol abuse. Now, if we Muslims are not part of the problem, then surely we must try to become part of the solution. We can and we should be working to put things right. Even if the reasons for our parents' migration were mainly economic, we can extend that purpose to include good citizenship and being good and inspiring role models of what Islam really stands for and what Islam can offer British society. That should be our intention. One hadith narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, said, "Actions are judged by their intention, and everyone shall have only what he intended. Therefore, Those who migrate for Allah and His Messenger, their migration was for Allah and His Messenger. And those who migrated to achieve some worldly benefit, or to take some woman in marriage, their migration will be judged by their intentions. My dear sisters and brothers, let us today dedicate ourselves to the service of Allah. Whatever our parents, or whether our parents may have come here to study, to work, or to run a business, or even to seek political asylum, or to enjoy a better life in general, let us make sure that our daily concerns focus not only on improving ourselves, but also improving our neighborhood, our country, and our natural environment. This will bring us nearer to Allah. Let us in our spiritual life make the hijrah, the migration, from what pleases us to what pleases Allah. It means in essence that we must aim to rise above selfishness, vanity, and self-indulgence. We must fulfill the noble purpose that Allah has decreed for us, which is to be His viceroy, His ambassador on earth. Let us make our goals in life well balanced and pleasing to Allah. Allah told His angels, as you remember in Surah Al-Baqarah, He told His angels that He had created us so that we can be His ambassadors, His Khalifa, His representatives here on earth. And remember that as ambassadors of Allah, as young students, our immediate goal is to do well at university so that we can do well in life generally. All the time, remember that we are being observed by others, and our behavior is how people will judge us as Muslims. We have some visitors here today, and quite often we have visitors from the wider community, and they're most welcome because our Jummah is open here. And we need to be aware that our behavior is always being reflected as what Islam stands for. It's a big responsibility, and it's also an opportunity for us to show how beautiful Islam is. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Glory to Allah, praise to Allah. There is no power nor strength except from Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, the fourth Khalif, Sayyidina Ali, once said that the most eloquent way of showing gratitude to Allah is to serve His creation. God is not impressed by our lip service. He's not impressed by how many prayers and how many acts of formal devotion we offer. He is much more interested in our good actions, what's in our hearts, how are our hearts disposed towards other people, and how that is reflected in our deeds, in our daily actions. He wants to see our love and our gratitude towards Him made visible. And we must bring benefit to our wider community if we really love Allah. In the Holy Quran, Allah is described as Ar-Rahman. As you know, there's a whole chapter devoted to this attribute of Ar-Rahman, the All-Merciful. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his final messenger, is described as Rahmatan lil Alameen, mercy to all the nations, to all the worlds, to the visible world and the invisible world, to all creatures. We Muslims say we worship Allah and we follow the example of His last prophet. Shouldn't we therefore be merciful to others? Shouldn't we be agents of mercy and indeed angels of mercy? Let us look at ourselves honestly and ask, what have I done today that promotes Allah's mercy to His creation. Have I today removed something from the burdens of human misery? Have I today added something to the sum total of human happiness, however small it might be, even if it means removing a stone or a broken bottle from a pavement? That's an act of mercy, it's an act of worship, if you do it for the benefit, for the love of Allah and for the benefit of His creation. There are many ways in which we can be more proactive. We should be at the forefront of community work, regenerating poor neighborhoods and leading campaigns against drug and alcohol abuse. We should be good living examples of strong family life that promotes an active community service. Here at Royal Holloway, our community has been helping the students and the university for over 20 years. Come forward and join us. We need you. And indeed, in a few weeks' time, we'll be having an open day in Egham Town Centre. I think Mushtaq will be announcing afterwards about this. And we need as much help as possible to come forward. People who can help us make it a successful day, inshallah. Remember, brothers and sisters, Allah loves all of His creation, not only those who call ourselves Muslims. Allah loves everybody. And if we take care of all Allah's creatures, it is a way of showing courtesy towards Him. If we mistreat any people or animals or any of Allah's creatures, we are causing an offense to Allah. The World Cup will come and go, but let's remember the biggest goal of all, which is earning Allah's good pleasure by showing respect and generosity to all His creatures. Brothers and sisters, to conclude this khutbah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Surely Allah commands justice, good deeds, and generosity to others and to relatives, and He forbids all shameful deeds and injustice and rebellion, and He instructs you so that you may be reminded. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. And remember me, I will remember you. Be grateful to me and do not reject faith. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَسْنَعُونَ. And without doubt, remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life, and Allah knows the deeds that you do. Ameen. Aqim as-salah.